This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So, you know how long I've been looking for the next great British rapper.
Well, I mean... I know because I tried to help at the beginning and you told me that I have, and I quote, no ear for British rap.
And so
and it's one of the meanest things you've ever said to me in our long partnership, which is actually a compliment to how kind we are to one another.
And this is me actually at the time. And this is actually me coming to you hat in hand because of an experience that I had last week. So I'm out to like a bunch of different guys who are kind of like scouting for me. And I get a call from one of these guys and he's like, just like show up to the studio. I'm going to send this guy there and just like lay something down. And you are like, I think you're going to like what you hear.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay. Like, of course, like,
hope so. Yeah.
And so I go and this guy shows up. His name is Chav Scouse, and sure. he's wearing a huge, like, puffy coat, and he's grimy. He's, like, caked in grime.
Yeah, perfect.
So he's okay.
He's got the look right.
Okay, maybe this is going to work.
This might sound good.
He shuffles in. He's very small. He shuffles in, goes into the booth, puts his headphones on. And he's like getting, like, he's just standing there for a minute. And then he goes, "Oh, could you turn the bloody headphones down, Mike?" And I'm like, "What?"
So, "These bloody headphones are so loud. I'm about to, punch a hole in my bloody eardrums."
I'm like, "Oh, okay." And I look, they're on like, the headphones are on like on six.
Yup. So it's not
and also, no high. One has said anything since he turned them on, mm-hmm. except when I said what?
Just the feedback or something.
Yeah. Yes. And I say, okay, I turned down to three. He goes,
"Still too bloody loud, right?"
Okay. And so I tried just like turning it off.
He's like, "Oh, Roy, that's class, Mike."
He needs no headphones, so then he can't, and you can't respond to him when he says that.
Because I said, "What?" Like,
"You're welcome." Yeah,
and I had to listen back later for what he said. He said it was class.
He's like, "Oh, all right, this volume's class."
And so I'm like, "Okay."
He's like, "Drop the beat for me, will you, love?"
Again, not something I like.
And he won't be able to hear the beat.
Well, oh yeah, because even before this, he was like,
"What about your bloody headphones, right? They're so loud, I can hear them all the way in here. It's hurting my ears."
No.
You can hear my headphones from in this.
Mate.
It sounds like Chaz Scouse.
Yeah.
Is very sensitive.
Yeah.
Chav Scouse is very sensitive.
Chav Scouse.
To,
yes.
I guess, white noise, basically.
Yes. And so I'm like, okay, I turned my headphones down to zero.
He's like, "Oh, that's class, Mike. Drop the beat for me, will you, love?"
Don't hear it. I don't do anything. He's like, "All right.
Who's going to come running out here, chopper, chopper? I don't know what with my ass called crupper. When I put my hand in my mouth, it's minging. When I see the lorry, I am singing. I'm going to put your art in an enemy stew. I'm going to come around with my witch's brew." "Oh, that's sorted."
And again, I can't hear any of this. My headphones are off. I just see that he's starting to walk out of the booth and then out of the studio.
How is this winding around to like an apology to me?
Because you know, I realize that like if this is what British rap
what
is
British
now,
rap is,
then I don't have an ear for British rap all either. Along. If this is what it is. I listened back to it. I was like, this is okay. I couldn't really understand the first two things he said. I couldn't understand at all. Mm-hmm. He said, when I put my hand in my mouth, it's mingin'. Which means, I guess it means like disgusting.
Oh, okay.
Then he said, when I see the lorry, I am singing.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what that. Lorry's like a bus, I think.
Yeah,
maybe Hugh Laurie
so too.
Oh, maybe.
Oh,
maybe when he sees Hugh Laurie, he's singing.
He's like a song and dance man, possibly.
Maybe. He said, I'm going to put your eye in an enemy stew. I was like, okay, bars. That's bars.
Yeah. That's fire.
Something about a witch's brew.
Yeah.
And then he just said, that's sordid.
Yeah, that's
terrible. It's way too short. It's way too quiet.
It's not a whole song.
There was no beat.
It's funny because the issue with the rap is like largely that it's so short, and yet the story about it has been so long that we haven't talked about guests at all, you know?
So long.
But I don't know any other way we could have done it.
So long.
I don't know any other way we could have done it.
Welcome to Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet lineback hallways of this industry we call showbiz.
What
little
up, what
institution
up.
We've created over here. We put in the time coming up on like a decade of producing content every single week. Oftentimes, people show up to the network that we actually helped build and because of the groundwork that we laid, build a larger audience than we did in less time. That's great.
It's a compliment to us. You know, what it says is, wow, you really softened the earth.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that these other, you know, beautiful flowers could grow.
Mm-hmm.
What show are you guys talking about?
What are you talking about?
Hmm?
Who are you? I haven't introduced
twice,
you yet.
Two comments from Matt.
I'm getting two comments from Matt.
So just checking the tally here, we have two comments from Matt, and we have zero from Nick and Heather so far.
Is that who people want to hear from the most when they see this lineup? They go, wow, I hope it's Matt heavy this episode.
Yeah.
Matt who's here all the time.
Who constantly is on the pro version.
We could never book Heather.
I've been on the show before.
You were on the show once.
Exactly.
You were on the show once, and
exactly.
At the end of the show, you described the show as a slow car crash.
Like being in a car accident.
And we took the note, and I think you're fine that this is a much faster car crash. I think it's going to feel like we are going at a breakneck pace. We are going to drive this car so fast directly into a building.
Cool. That's
school.
Thank you.
A school.
Thank you.
Ugh. It's Heather and
a school for bad people. The school for scoundrels. We'll drive it into the school
into
for
the
scoundrels.
School for scoundrels.
Take that.
Mm-hmm.
Does Mr. Woodcock teach there?
Mr. Woodcock is. He doesn't teach.
He doesn't teach. It's the same poster.
He's the provost. He's in charge of activities.
Okay.
He's organizing the magic bus event at the School for Scoundrels this year, where you just like you get on the magic bus and they take you to mystery destination. It's a dance at the aquarium.
Mm-hmm.
Heather and Campbell are here.
Yep, that's me. I got Matt Apodaca. Do you guys want me to introduce the third guest? Is that what you're queuing me up here for?
That would actually kick ass.
We've also got my friend and co-host, Nick Weicker. Hi, Nick.
Hi.
Congrats, you were on Podmas recently. I was checking your feed, and you were celebrating yourselves over there, retweeting a Podmas mention. And then
What's
I was
Podmas?
Like, oh, Podmas is the list of all, like the best, or not necessarily the best, but the most notable.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Podcast from that week. And I saw that and I thought to myself, oh, Podmas is back. Holy shit. Because I just assumed it had gone on hiatus for
2.5 years, something like that.
Easily 2.5 years, which is the last time that we were mentioned in it. Because mm-hmm. we used to get some burn on Podmas. Yeah. And then I go back, I scroll through. They've been diligently producing this column every single week.
Is this Vulture or what is this? AV Club?
What is it? It's
no,
AV
we were
Club.
Mentioned there too, though. We got okay. Yeah, it's another sort of another publication.
Hard to tell because you're on both.
Yeah, we got written up for being good there also.
I thought Podmas was an app. Am I thinking of something else?
I think, yeah, you're thinking of something else.
You are thinking of something
no,
else.
No, I actually don't think you are. I don't think you're thinking of anything.
Yeah, I think you're lying.
No, I just saw something that was Podcast Addict. That's what it was. That was the app.
I could see how, thing. You heard Podmas. And
it's got
so what you're thinking of is the word podcast.
I guess so, yes.
I see
Do
how you
guys
get
need
there.
Help? Do you guys, like, what?
No.
Well, how can I facilitate this?
No.
To make it run smooth for you guys.
This is going exactly. You all are just like slotting into your role so perfectly, marching to the beat of my little drum.
Okay.
I've got a front row seat for the puppet show, and all the marionettes came to dance. Hayes twists his little fingers up above the stage.
Last time Heather And was here, we did video game adaptation of The Proposal starring Ryan Reynolds.
Wow.
Do you recall this, Heather And?
Yeah. It seemed like there was some miscommunication about the fundamentals of what a video game is or what it should accomplish.
I guess
I left with a lot of concern for your not just like your exposure to games, but your overall worldview. But I mean, if you guys want to take another swing at it, the whole crew is here.
Well, we're going to have to take another swing at it because unfortunately, whatever the miscommunication was, it sounded pretty damn good to some of the high ups over at Netflix, and they went ahead and made a goddamn fucking hit movie out of it. And wow. Taika's riffing was sublime. So if that isn't the mark of a successful video game development podcast episode of Hollywood Handbook, mm-hmm. I don't know what is. They put Ryan Reynolds in the friggin' movie, and they made him be in the video game, and they made him be, I assume, doing all the things that we said he would be doing, including carrying a box, putting down a box, having trouble getting over the box.
Yeah.
So we gotta beat it. We gotta come even harder, and this time we've got to get some kind of trademark or copyright on this mm-hmm. thing so that we don't get scooped again.
Because
I want my points.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Is that the plot of Red Notice? What were you describing?
So I understand. And this goes back to the Podmas podcast thing that Sean is disoriented. That was Free Guy was, of course, a 20th project.
Oh, Free Guy. Okay. Right.
Yes. That you could see in theaters. Second deadliest video game movie of all time from the in-theater experience,
mm-hmm.
nestled mm-hmm. right in between.
Distant second.
Yes.
What's the first one?
Huh? Oh, Sonic the Hedgehog was a super spreader. It killed more people than any other movie released in history. It was packing theaters full of families immediately before the country was shut down for... the novel Corona.
Yeah, it killed. Yeah, Sonic killed more people than hatred.
Wow.
Than just throughout history. Than the emotion hatred has killed.
It's not Sonic's fault. Like that, mm-hmm. you know, that obviously was not their intention.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it depends who you ask whether the intention actually matters.
I think
what would Immanuel Kant say about this?
And that's interesting. We should stew on that, actually.
Well, stew
I heard
on
there
it.
Was a...
You got a mic? Stew.
Kant is a philosopher?
I can't believe you asked me that. And the you know what I movie is I, also his first initial.
The movie I assume had a big death toll was, kind of past it now, but Tomb Raider, The Cradle of Life, because it was such a bomb. I was going to say try to say that earlier, but I didn't really have a window for it.
If we're circling back to stuff we were going to say earlier, could I say...
Let's that, get it. Yeah, let's do that now. This is a great yeah. opportunity. Yeah.
I was so let's just stop down and Kevin set a timer and maybe every like 10 minutes or so we can all just stop down and say stuff we want to circle back to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe we plug it in earlier or not, but
I was going to say I wouldn't place the deaths of those many on Sonic himself. I would place it on everybody who complained about his teeth, because if they would have just left it alone, it would have come out
good point.
Sooner
with regular teeth. Yes,
yeah,
that would have saved so many lives.
They would have saved a lot of lives, and wow. honestly, you know, the animators,
the cowardly
are
developers
well.
Who buckled to public pressure.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Everybody, all the suits.
Okay, I guess I'll go outside and ask the birds not to sing while I'm at it. If we're asking devotees of Sonic the Hedgehog to silently accept top and bottom full rows of teeth.
Gruesome veneers. There's something about Mary Matt Dillon-esque. Chompers.
I hope they make the same design choices with Mario, with Chris Pratt. Like, they just make him look like a human being.
Very realistic human teeth.
That would be smart because they can get ahead of any other controversy. If there's just the backlash to the teeth, they can be like, okay, we fixed the teeth.
Yes.
And then everyone will be excited for the movie.
Give them like real fucked up teeth. Austin Powers style.
Little beady eyes.
Yeah.
Just always like little sweat on his mustache.
Crumbs. Yeah.
Mario just looks like he really needs to wipe his face.
Yeah, he looks like he stinks.
One wet armpit.
One.
So we got to do a new game. Our major IP has been seized by 20th.
Mm.
We can come up. We do have some existing IP. We have Fight Haver.
Mm-hmm.
Fight Haver Fast Drive is a property of ours that we've developed on the show.
Lane dormant previously. For a little bit, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Voice talent didn't really nail their piece of it, so they were a little resistant to some of the yeah. ideas of the game, and it wasn't.
Who'd you have attached?
Didn't come out how we needed it.
Who'd you have attached?
Come in. Fight Haver.
Oh, you got him, and he couldn't even do it.
We could do it.
Okay.
Fight Haver. We didn't actually explore like kind of who Fight Haver is in the first one, so maybe we can get into this a little bit. Fight Haver, his fighting style is to only choke. Only put both hands completely around the neck of his opponent and choke them. And he competes in these kind of like underground fights, but there are like, obviously that's not allowed.
Right.
Yeah.
Like there are some, it's looser than like a traditional boxing match or something, but like that's
there's
clearly
some rules.
Not.
There's some etiquette. Yeah. And you're yeah. not, you're really not supposed to two hand choke every person you see.
Also sounds like it would just be cinematically stagnant, you know, thinking of it as a film. Like, I yeah. feel like, how many ways can you shoot that?
Yeah, well, his hair changes color.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's cool.
So there is something, like, happening in the frame.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a very long time to render.
Are we talking about the game now? Or
no.
Is this...
We're talking about the property.
Okay, the IP.
That's a property we have. It, to my mind... It's like, can we combine this then with another movie? Like, we had so much success adapting the proposal. Mm-hmm. You immediately I guess, think of Fight Club, but I don't want to do that.
No.
Right.
But off of that, would we want to do
First Wives Club?
Yeah.
That's what he was going to say.
Okay. I'll say that the multiverse is big, and we see this in video games right now. You know, they just actually released it. They're working on a WB multiverse fighting game that's combining a bunch of their different properties. They're doing the same. A Nickelodeon fighting game has been released. Of course, Super Smash Brothers with the Nintendo progenitor of this genre. So it strikes me as probably the correct moment to combine a couple of properties and see what happens. I mean, people are excited for that.
Okay, so what you're saying is we get... Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Berkley from First Wives Club.
Mm-hmm.
We try to get Goldie if we can. But then we combine that possibly with not someone from Fight Club, but maybe one of the actors from Fight Club. We get Jared Leto from Dallas Buyers Club.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and get someone from Book Club? Do we see if Candy from Book Club is available?
Can we get the Book Club Candy?
Mm-hmm.
That is now feeling like, okay, and this is a game.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's right. Just choking each other. Is this right?
Yes, they all, yes. Their move is two hands choke each other to death.
What?
And so that's the move set for every fighter in this game.
Every mm-hmm. button basically activates a two-handed choke.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Heather.
And I can see Heather's skeptical. And I knew this was going to be an issue. Heather only appears in projects that have a question mark in the title. And so we can make it the First Wives Club. Underlined first.
Yeah. I mean, if you need an endorsement or like a go ahead, I have no precipice from which to hold. I can't judge anything you guys are talking about.
It's precipice. It's pronounced precipice.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, Heather, you're like a fighting game champ. So your expertise actually could really come in handy here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because
this is your wheelhouse.
I'm thinking if everybody has the same choke, the two-handed choke move, there's got to be some variety in at least what they say.
Yeah, you kind of want the rock, paper, scissors sort of dynamic, you know, in a fighting game where you got the big tough guy, you know, you've got the fast, quick guy. You know, everyone has kind of a different sort of move set and a different mm-hmm. sort of strategy that you'd employ. But if we're talking about everyone has the same move, then I guess you got to do it up with...
Well, it's something of a prisoner's dilemma, isn't it?
Mm. Okay, right.
Isn't it?
Both players elect to choke. Their hands just kind of like glance off each other and they just mm-hmm. keep sort of like banging into each other.
Well, they can break each other's fingers. That's something. If you go to choke at the same time, you can bend each other's fingers all the way back and break fingers.
Okay.
But doesn't matter?
Is it
one player, and there's a rest button as well. So you can either choke or rest.
Mm-hmm.
So then you need to have some strategic value
mm-hmm.
add for resting. Because if you're just going to make yourself more vulnerable to being choked, then why would the player ever opt to rest?
To be clear, there's only one Eames chair.
Okay.
Oh.
And mm-hmm. so if one player elects to rest, the other can still press the rest button, but they end up kind of like wandering around, like looking for somewhere to sit.
Got it. So there's sort of a musical chairs element there.
You can unlock like a hammock that is off screen and then the player just leaves.
Okay.
I'm concerned about some of the AI implications of what you've just described.
Mm-hmm.
I understand press X to rest and you mm-hmm. and one player
pronounced
gets
pacifist.
Pacifist direct.
Let's say you're a pacifist. And you want to rest. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. you sit down in the Eames chair. What you did describe that if the other player presses rest, they wander around aimlessly. Mm-hmm. And that's where my concern comes in, because I that's
the
a
AI implications is that they could effectively wander into meat space, as you say.
It's not what I said, and that was not. I mean, that's a different concern, maybe that you have, but Kevin, I don't have.
Kevin, can we double back? Are we at the time yet where we
30
say
seconds
things
left,
that we would have said?
But we
30
can,
seconds left.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll save it for 30 seconds. Go ahead.
I just feel like that's a complicated action to have a procedurally generated behavior based on just, you could just have them want to sit.
Maybe just point to the camera when,
sure.
Yeah. Like, yeah. When the
what?
30 seconds is up.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
I thought you meant me.
5, 4, 3, 2, and
recipes.
Got it.
So I think, like, I hear your concern. Absolutely. I don't understand the concern.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I don't really, like, I guess I didn't hear it.
I hear it for sure. But I don't get it. I don't like it.
Okay. I'll say that technically, to what Heather said, technically there's not as much of an obstacle there. It's fairly easy to have AI wander aimlessly. You can sort of establish a mesh
that's
that they're just sort of going to, yeah.
That's what I feel too, yeah.
But
I said the same thing.
But is that a, but there's one thing that, like,
so
it's one
easy.
You can build an AI.
It's so
the cliche,
stingy.
The cliche you say in game development is it's easy to build a hard AI, it's hard to build a fun AI. So, like, does that add to the fun?
That's so
a
funny.
A character wandering aimlessly. Well, it's not a joke. It's like,
I'm cracking up.
I mean, it's not like a
it's
joke.
Kind of a
it's
joke.
More sort of guidance for an AI.
It is.
Programmer.
I mean, it's intentionally
kills,
pithy and clever, and it's a joke. I mean, it's a joke.
That's like over the urinals at, like, game development studio bathrooms. It makes people laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Easy to build a hard AI.
Yeah.
It's hard to build a fun AI.
Mm-hmm.
Fun, of course, could just say easy AI.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they're synonymous. Because also, it's not hard to build an easy AI. It's also pretty easy.
We know. I mean, like, honestly, the plot so far sucks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, I get, like, you guys are so obsessed with, like, the gameplay and all this stuff, but, like,
it's like, let's tell a fucking story.
Yes.
Like, what's the story here? Like, I don't care. You know, obviously, I don't care. They're going to break each other's fingers. They're going to choke each other, you know,
yes.
Or they're going to sit down and rest. What I want to know is, what makes them tick? Why are they doing these things?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're
That's
starting.
What we brought you in for.
Obviously, Middlebury College, 1969. Annie, Elise, Brenda, and Cynthia. They are graduating. They are getting ready to pose in the commemorative graduation picture. So this to me is the first like thing that you can control is all four of them at one. You only have one joystick and they're all wandering around. It's easy.
That is actually easy to do.
And you have to line up so that you get them all in the shot.
Heather's note was like wandering around is going to be difficult. What would be easier is to create a desire within the AI to make them want, to have them yearn to sit and rest. Honestly, it's kind of beautiful, if naive.
So we need to get this picture, even just to get to the next scene when Cynthia is going to be gazing at it. The four of them on graduation day.
I mean, I know you want to focus on plot, but it's just hard to divorce it from gameplay, because if we're talking about a fighting game, those are ones that are not traditionally narrative driven. It's like you don't think of Mortal Kombat and...
Oh, I can solve this. I can solve this.
Mm-hmm.
Forget everything you think you know about fighting games. If it's okay. If it's not traditionally like this, that's a good thing. Because mm-hmm. we're not here to stand on ceremony and follow the rules and color inside the lines, Jack. The reason we actually brought in this team, this brain trust, is to break the fucking mold, man.
I'm also not necessarily interested in making my consumer, who's really a guest in my mind for this experience, complicit in whatever comes as a result of this fight. What they're there to do is basically report on it and take a picture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so,
to observe a lived experience,
these four women are all choking each other.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's graduation day, Middlebury College, 1969. Your job is to, I mean, they're wandering around, but obviously if they come into contact with each other, they will start to choke immediately.
Okay.
You have to get this picture of them.
So your goal is to try to snap a shot of all four of them strangling each other. But you have to wait until they're all positioned. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would work. Mm-hmm. That's not the goal, as we explained it.
Yeah.
But that would allow you to move on to the next level.
We're not talking about gameplay. We're not. But it sounds like the fighting now is not part of it, and it is now more of like a Pokemon Snap game. Where instead of taking pictures of Pokemon,
scene happened already. We're just like, what do you think the entire game is like, taking a picture?
No, it seems like we're not going to do that multiple times throughout.
No, it's over. We're done.
Okay.
No, we're done.
I was just voicing a concern.
Ends.
Now it's 1996.
Mm-hmm.
And Cynthia is tearfully gazing at the picture of them on graduation day. She's very wealthy. She's living in a luxurious penthouse.
Mm-hmm.
And she has requested that her maid mail letters to the other three friends in this photo, Annie, Elise, and Brenda.
She asks her maid to do that? She doesn't write her own friends?
I think she's written the letters.
Oh.
Or dictated them.
Yeah, and you know, they're potentially even in the envelope stamped. Obviously, the maid is going to be licking them. But everything else is in place.
Mm-hmm.
We need to establish her status, right? It's very important to the story that we know that this monstrous choking machine is in fact extremely wealthy and has employees. If you would rather she choke the maid, that I'll listen. I mean, that's sort of interesting to me. I think the letters won't get mailed. I also think like we're not going to be rooting for her if she chokes her maid right away.
Well, but you have to keep in mind that the player themselves are thinking that they are a character in this. So maybe if we give the player some agency of like, hey, you have a choice here. Do you want to take the good path and have your maid mail your letters? Or do you want to take the dark path and choke out your maid and mail the letters yourself? Or throw the letters in the trash?
So in this scenario, it is good to employ a maid and it is bad to do something yourself. Mm-hmm. A simple
task. If you choke her, I would say. I'd say the choking is probably what makes
Depends
it
Depends on what the thing you do yourself is, I guess.
I guess that's
Are
true.
Are we being compensated for our creative involvement in this title? Because I'm beginning to be... There seems to be a lot of unwritten material here. And I feel like if you guys are going to move forward with this, that the three of us are doing some heavy lifting here.
Well, two of
Heather,
you are.
Heather, did you not send did you not have your lawyer take a look at this? At the advance for this podcast?
No.
Oh. Yeah, my guy looked over it. He said it was, you know,
of course it's the guy. Oh, Nick Lawyer's the guy? Okay.
My maid looked at mine.
Mm-hmm.
So the maid is like, we've gotten the maid to leave on her little errand. Mm-hmm. And now Cynthia walks outside on the balcony of her penthouse, and she attempts to commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Jumping to her death. She has learned through the tabloids that her ex-husband Gil, who Cynthia made wealthy through her connections, has the day before married his much younger bride.
Mm-hmm.
You, the player, you are Mr. Bean.
30 seconds.
You are four floors down. You open a window. You stretch out to like enjoy the day. And the goal is to hang your pajamas outside on the clothesline just in time to catch Cynthia on her way down.
You know, a movie had a high death count, I think, was the video game movie Need for Speed with Aaron Paul, because it was such a bomb.
I guess one thing I almost said was that Hayes went to great lengths to explain that we did not want the player to be complicit in whatever fight took place. And then Nick's like next pitch was that perhaps the player could choose to choke the maid.
Okay, that's fair. Is Mr. Bean in the movie?
Mr. Bean is, well,
Rowan Atkinson?
Mr. Bean, in the same way as the game, you... The camera in the movie is Mr. Bean. It's heavily implied.
Got it.
You in the game, like, you don't see Mr. Bean. Like, you are Mr. Bean's eyes. You inhabit Mr. Bean.
In this fighting game, it's a first-person perspective, and you only see arms.
Yes. It was Mr. Bean taking the picture back at Middlebury College. It's Mr. Bean hanging his pajamas out to dry.
Ken... If I know that you said wandering AI is easy, Nick, to sort of create a more sense of like realism.
Is bumbling AI like where
yeah, is that
I was gonna say no, these AI would just be fucking losing their minds, cracking up because Mr. Bean is there. It would just make more sense if they're like, that's Mr. I'm laughing. They'd be going nuts just seeing him making his faces and slipping on, you know, loose fish, whatever.
But also in Mr. Bean's reality, people don't find his buffoonery particularly funny.
That's true.
They find it obnoxious.
And this is why...
He's often frustrating them.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe they're upset now to that point. They're like, oh, great. It's this fucking lunatic, this guy.
I like the one where he makes a salad in a sock.
That is good.
That's my favorite one. He puts lettuce in a sock. Next to a businessman. He's sitting on a bench next to a businessman, and he puts lettuce in the sock and he swings it around so he can dry it off.
Yeah.
But and he's
taking a salad spinner. Yeah.
In that same episode, he's making a sandwich, right? Next to the businessman.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's it. I don't know.
And he's got like a jar. He's got like a jar of like sardines, but they're like alive. And so he's next to the businessman and he'll reach in and he'll pull one out and he'll kind of like listen to it. And then he'll slam it against the bench as hard as he could and then lay it in the sandwich.
Yes.
And I saw it. I thought, and it was also my favorite. I thought it was the funniest one I ever saw. And then I was telling my sister about it, demonstrating it. And as I went to demonstrate slamming the sardine against the edge of the counter in my kitchen, I actually hit my hand so hard on the counter that I split it open.
Oh my God.
So as I'm recounting the buffoonery of Mr. Bean, I split my hand open and start bleeding all over the kitchen. In the middle of my like, and then he does that. Like, it's gonna be so funny to hear me tell you what Mr. Bean did. It was very Mr. Bean-esque, and my life imitated art in that.
They ought to put one of those Jackass style warnings in front of Mr. Bean to not attempt anything.
Don't
to
attempt.
See.
Yeah,
don't even try it. He's. Do you know who this is? It's Bean, baby.
Forget about it, baby.
Forget about it, baby.
Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort, but it is possible to have it both ways. Mack Weldon makes timeless apparel with modern performance fabrics for guys who want to look and feel sharp without sacrificing comfort. We're so excited to be working with Mack Weldon again. We wear Mack Weldon stuff. I'm wearing a Mack Weldon sweatshirt right now, but it has been, we've had a few years in the wilderness.
Great stuff. Yeah. We had a little bit of a period where we were not actively engaged in this partnership with them. It was really hard on us. I like to think it was hard on them. I don't know. That wasn't expressed to us ever. We struggled in that time.
And that was, I think, part of it was like really wanting to maintain a total separation from the partnership for a while. We are back. Mack Weldon, the underwear's great. The Ace sweatpants.
The sweatpants I have always loved. I recently ordered, and I will report back on them in the next ad, fingers crossed, if we have one, and I hope we do. What's going on? But I did order a polo shirt.
Wow.
A silver, and silver is their special fabric that is like antimicrobial. I got the Silver Peak polo shirt, and I don't really wear those, but I do kind of like them. And this could be a whole new me that you end up seeing.
And so people might be asking, we'll just cover it in this ad before we move forward, what happened to Mack and Weldon, the prospector characters you used to do for Mack Weldon ads. Mack and Weldon are dead. We want to like underscore that fact. It was very important to...
Yeah, it was not the only reason that for the break, but we did give them their space. We did take a break, and Mack and Weldon wasn't not a reason that we came to that place with this company. And so they are dead. You know, no reason to go into any of the gruesome details. Those characters have been killed, murdered, and that's how they're dead. Was not natural causes, was not anything peaceful. They're gone.
Breathable underwear that keeps you cool, dry, and comfy all day. Crazy comfortable but elevated sweatpants from the Ace collection. The Silver Peak polo, the Silver Crew Neck t-shirt. Great stuff. Get it at Mack Weldon. Timeless looks with modern comfort. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code THEBOYS. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code THEBOYS.
Let's face it, folks. Shopping for loved ones can be difficult. But Aura is making it a lot easier. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? I know I am. Aura frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can personalize the frame with preloaded photos. So I took advantage of this. Obviously, people know I'm a wife guy, and my wife is also a mom. So for Mother's Day this year, I know I want to give her something special that makes her life a little bit easier. So I'm going to preload the Aura frame with images of gifts that I want her to buy me. That way, I'm taking so much of the pressure of shopping for me off of my wife. It's called being a considerate husband, and I can't imagine a better gift than a frame with a series of images of items I wish I had. From grandmothers to new mothers to aunts to even friends in your life, everyone will love an Aura frame. It was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages, and they make it easier to let them know where they've maybe been letting you down and not getting you exactly what you want. That's why there's nothing more passive-aggressive and thoughtful than an Aura frame. Right now, they've got a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code THEBOYS at checkout to save. Oh, and terms and conditions? Yeah, they apply.
Hey, did you guys know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about like maybe 3-4 subscriptions. I couldn't believe it when they showed me I was paying for 5 million subscriptions every month. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, just never ending. I had a subscription I had subscribed with the police for a permit to smoke trees. This was many years ago. I mean, like, I barely used it. I haven't smoked trees in like in many, many years. And they make it so hard to cancel. You have to go to the police station. They're like, you sure? Sure would be nice to like smoke down a big ass tree right now. And they just make it seem more appealing than it actually is. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on that subscription. Any other. They went down to the police station for me. They talked to the chief. Like, they make it so easy. They find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions. They monitor your spending, help you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. You have full control over your subscriptions, a clear view of your expenses. They're all in one place. Over 5 million users. They've saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Because, yeah, I mean, each one, just like do the math. I had 5 million. Each would cost $100. Saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/theboys. That's rocketmoney.com/theboys. rocketmoney.com/theboys.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hollywood Handbook.
So Need for Speed made $203 million on a budget of $66 million.
Okay.
And to Nick, that's like...
Yeah, Nick, what did your movie gross?
Killed people. It was so bad. Nick, who wouldn't be capable of imagining $203 million in his dreams tonight.
I thought it was less successful. Maybe I was just thinking domestically.
Maybe critically is what you're thinking.
I might have been thinking critically, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you're trying to come up with an example that didn't directly attack Hayes' family.
Oh.
Cradle of Life. The 2003 Tomb Raider.
Yes.
Okay.
Grossed $160 million on a $95 million budget.
Well, but you put marketing in there, and what you're finding is they're actually taking a loss.
Your family didn't work on Cradle
of Life. You think if Angelina had said, I'm willing to come back for round three, they wouldn't have made another one of those?
I think they probably would have.
Didn't they make another one without her?
Yes.
Well,
they did.
And now yeah,
it's also more, a financial success.
One. Yes.
Yeah.
Was one of the best reviewed Rotten Tomatoes video game adaptations of all time.
I met about Rampage like 12 years ago, and I was like, "That's a great idea for a that's the video game property that should be a movie."
Yeah.
And then they come out with about the movie. It. Yeah, they were like, hey, we're thinking of making Rampage. I was just like, sure. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's as far
Honey,
as it went.
Guess what I met about today.
Anyway, the movie comes out and they eliminate the best part, which is that they're like regular people who turn into giant monsters. And then when they get shot by, you know, rocket propelled grenades and helicopter fire enough. They shrink down
cover,
to naked little people.
They cover
yeah.
their nads.
Yeah. Yeah, that was like the best part of the arcade game.
and they slink away.
They got rid of it.
And they're really, really tiny. Little kid Weiger is like pressing his face against the screen so he could like really see if they actually have.
Yeah.
They didn't get their hand there in time. Is there a way to pause it?
Yeah. I heard if you get the high score that you could see it.
Ralph's packing a fucking rocket downstairs. You could just tell.
My favorite part about that game is
stir
that
the arcade's closing.
Punching motion. Mm-hmm. The punch is also the same action for eat. And I think it would have been funny in the movie if we had seen that, like that, to move your hand as fast as a punch to grab a person.
To eat something.
To eat them would be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'd pay.
They didn't do
I'd
that
pay.
Either.
No, they didn't do that.
And you don't have an opinion on seeing them live action nude actors?
I mean,
covering themselves in shame.
Ashamed, yeah.
Yeah, either way would have been okay with me.
Victims of a scientific experiment gone wrong, then humiliated on top of it after being physically
also shot at by like the military. By, yeah. They didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah.
They got big on accident.
Yeah, I guess I didn't miss that part, Nick, but I'm not the video game guy.
Made $428 million on a budget of $120 million. But no, let's do your version.
Let's do the Nick version where it's a little naked guy.
Who's like embarrassed?
Who's yes?
That meeting,
he's feeling ashamed of his body.
They're still talking about that meeting.
Covering up, they're like, it's all he wanted to talk about.
He wouldn't stop shaking me when he said it.
Well, they get so big that their clothes are off. You know what I mean? And a lot of times they're kind of up against the building, so they're hiding. Like, I assume they have some monster stuff. But when they get small, man, then it's human stuff, and then they're just facing you.
I feel like I had a friend who worked at that company, and their complaint was that Nick kept saying, and you'll cast me, and I'll be the guy. You cast me, which was what made it uncomfortable for everybody.
He was like, you got to have an actor who's willing to really sell it.
I'll show you.
It would look like this.
And I promise I'll cover it all the way up.
I thought it could be more like a cameo.
If any peeks out, we'll just shoot it both ways. Well, just so you have options in the edit. I mean, you don't want to make that decision on the day. Let's test it. We'll get a test audience in, and they'll see it peeking out, or they'll see it normal. Okay. We'll think about it. What's there to think about? I'm not even going to charge you any money. We have to get this fight haver thing figured out.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's not even in the game yet. Wait,
so far, it's the First Wives from the First Wives Club and Mr. Bean.
And Mr.
No
Bean.
Fight
Mr.
Haver.
Bean's there.
Fight Haver's not even in there.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like a natural place to introduce him is after, you know, the female lead has this life crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe
lands in the pajamas.
Lands of the pajamas, and who's there to meet her? Fight Haver.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Bean is like watching this happen. We're in Mr. Bean's flat.
30 seconds.
It's his POV.
Yeah, it's his POV. So, like, why is Fight Haver there?
I think maybe he had the key to the wrong apartment.
He goes all
he had the
way in.
Key to the wrong apartment? And he went to the wrong apartment to use the key. Like, he tested different apartments until the key worked. Anybody
and
have anything?
And he enters, and he's not immediately like, "Oh, this is not my flat. This is Mr. Bean's."
Here, well, maybe he does.
There's a string of Christmas cards that Mr. Bean wrote to himself. I don't think this is my flat.
Well, maybe he was just moving in. And he got the, like, here's the keys to your new place, Fight Haver. He just signed a lease. And he's on the wrong floor.
That would happen to Mr. Bean. Mm-hmm. That would happen to Mr. Bean that you're all moved in and then your landlord has basically rented your flat now.
Yeah.
To a menace, to a Fight Haver. And you're just sort of like, you know, putting out your laundry to dry for the day. You turn your back. A woman falls straight into your pajamas, lands like sort of scarecrow style, all puffed out in your onesie. Yeah. You don't even see it. You turn around because the door's opening and the Fight Haver's like, "Oi, what are you doing in my flat, Bean?" And he's British, I guess. Maybe that was the British rapper. Got that stuck in my head.
Yeah, maybe.
And Mr. Bean's British. He's
sure.
British. And
but he doesn't speak.
But First Wives Clubs, they're not.
No,
we figure it out later.
They could be.
Yeah, they could be.
Well, do we want to make the First Wives Club British? Like, let's decide.
Yeah. We can get it both ways.
We could get both.
Well, let's just shoot it both ways.
Because, you know, we could, the things you can do these days with games, we could like sort of dynamically insert different dialogue, you know, options. So like, let's say there's an there's a part where one of the wives is like, is just having a normal conversation in you know, plain, not British speak. And then things get a little tense, and then she starts throwing a bruv or two in there, you know, and then that's sort of, then you can sort of insert that. Maybe she starts running and starts saying, come off it, you know, what's all this then? That kind of right. stuff.
And like, based on your behavior.
I'm not chuffed right now.
In the game, like, depending on how you treat like NPCs and
right.
like whether or not you like mm-hmm. take things that aren't yours, there could be like a meter that tracks like how British your character is.
Yeah.
At any given moment.
Yeah. Sort of like the meter in like Grand Theft Auto.
Calm.
That's yeah. interesting. If there's a separate screen that you go to check your British meter,
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
maybe it forces you to look at it every
yeah. But you'll need a different, something. Like a separate monitor.
It's like,
or something like that.
It's yeah. like your wanted meter in Grand Theft Auto. When you've done too many crimes, the police start to take notice, right? So if you have one star, you know, that's sort of like, hey, like everybody's got one star, not mm-hmm. super, not a super big deal. Everybody does crime, but if you got five star. That's actually really bad. Now there's like tanks
now
coming
ICE
after
is,
you.
Now ICE is after you.
They, mm-hmm. yeah, they're even
so
like
British that you actually have to like. You are at risk of deportation.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they're like they're not happy with it
you're
at
21
all.
21 Savage. I mean, you're mm-hmm. at that point. You're 21 Savage, and
yeah.
they're gonna come get you.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And why then we bring ISIS in the green card franchise.
Not ISIS. ICE is.
Okay, I was like, why are they deporting?
They're probably not happy about it either, if we're being honest.
No, ISIS.
They might get to you first before ICE does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Probably don't approve of the music in the game.
Music's not allowed over there.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Reading a lot about what's allowed and what's not allowed with ISIS, Nick?
I was thinking more when you were talking about the Grand Theft Auto meter. I was thinking more of the Mass Effect Paragon or Renegade scale, which is kind of like a morality compass. And as you progress, as you take more noble actions, you become more paragon. As you take more rebellious actions, you become more renegade. It could be the same sort of thing with your Britishness.
I guess I made the reference I made because more people would know what I was talking about.
Okay.
I feel like I neglected at the top of this podcast to say something that I should have, that would inform.
Is this the time? Are we doing that right now? Like,
we missed one earlier.
We missed one earlier.
For the
one.
Thing that we
yeah.
would have said. I think it's soon. Kevin, do we want to?
It's in 5 minutes, but when we miss one, so I can stick this in the one that we missed.
Okay, and then we'll just bump the other one back.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
So this would be like time traveling, because it'll be like you guys heard this and then just moved on, which yeah. is that I got my booster yesterday. My girlfriend and I both got our boosters.
Yep.
And she's fine. But I have 102 fever and my lymph nodes have swollen up like golf balls.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in so much pain that I can't. It's hard for me to track this conversation.
Mm.
Well, you think that's a result of the booster or the podcast itself?
I honestly, I'm giving you guys the benefit of the doubt and saying it's the booster here. I mean,
the fact that your girlfriend is fine. Like, I think that. Like they missed or something.
Yeah.
Like, where did you go?
I went to CVS to get my booster and I also got the flu shot at the
same
time.
They sell candy there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I think they have like high C and like juice boxes and stuff.
I was nervous. And I woke up in the middle of the night covered in sweat, 101 fever that's only gone up, but she's fine.
I haven't gone up that much.
Yeah. Okay.
What are we rocking? I mean,
my brain is fried.
What label are we?
I'm a Moderna girl.
Yeah.
Apodaca got it, and he didn't mind it at all.
No, yeah. We you do know though that I am built different.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do know.
I got the Moderna booster just like a week ago myself.
Wow.
Pfizer gang, rise up.
Oh. You're bragging about not having a reaction to the Pfizer one?
But I also got a flu shot at the same time.
It's fake, honey. Honey. That one's fake.
It only works if we keep it so cold.
Little baby vaccine. It's a popsicle. Get the fuck out of here.
We didn't get into the box mechanics at all.
Heather, do you want to go?
No. I wanted to give you guys some
because we have to like
some context.
We can't just like keep doing this
for what was happening to me when if I looked like I was in pain or was going from pale to red.
You
from
did,
pale
but
to
you
red.
Looked like that last time you did the show.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Great.
I got one for next time we go.
Okay.
Back in time.
Great.
Okay.
Just a heads up. Yes, locked and loaded.
Kevin
so does a thing
smash
like,
two devil sticks together. So was loaded.
I feel like it might help us if we know where we're headed. So can you guys give me some shape of the ending on this game?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you want to go first?
Me? No, yes. I asked a question.
You. Yes,
I don't, that's not how
you said you were hoping to be cut in on this.
What? Mm-hmm.
You were hoping to make
you
money
to participate
off this
in the profit.
Earlier,
I just wanted
like,
to know
I don't remember.
What?
I don't remember being so crass. I was, it must have been the shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Just a minute ago, you were saying like, compensated for my contribution.
Souring
no,
your
I remember
creative endeavor by bringing up the ugly business of the financial end.
I remember that part of, I was concerned because it felt like you boys didn't have a clear idea. And it felt frankly, like Nick Weiger was doing some real shaping of this
all
project.
The ideas have been ours. What the stuff that Nick Weiger and Matt have been doing is going like,
thank you,
that
Sean.
Reminds me of this other
mm-hmm.
game.
Mm-hmm.
That that's kind of like the meter in Grand Theft mm-hmm. Auto. It's like, yeah, no shit, pal. That's why we fucking did it.
That was
like,
Apodaca,
oh, is it? Are you a paragon or a renegade? Like all none of that shit is going into the game. They're just describing what we already told them is in the game. Every substantive idea has come from Hayes.
Okay.
So far.
All right. So why don't... So give me... Give
Weiger's
me some...
repurposing pitches for movies that he met on...
He's like shoehorning in these like movie
ago.
Meetings
out of
from the last time he was
page.
Relevant.
How about... So what's the end...
The wave of video game adaptations.
Huh?
I said I don't know how I missed that. I mean, I should
yeah,
have
that's
been perfect
what the studios
page,
are saying too. Ah, nuts.
30 seconds.
Ah, oh, we just finished.
We were so. Oh, we would have been able to get the nude ashamed man idea.
Sonic 2 in the can already.
Yeah, plenty of time to show up for Sonic 2. Oh no.
They really got to release it on 2/2/22.
They got
it. Okay, Kevin just gave me the signal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Imagine if Mr. Bean got his hands on one of those long CVS receipts.
Okay.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's good.
It'd be pretty funny.
What would he do?
Yeah, what would
Probably
he do?
Some stuff. You know.
Toilet paper.
Sorry, I'm sick too.
we need an end, Heather. So like we have to finish the
pack. I got my steroids.
Oh my god!
Oh man,
wow.
Jesus!
Look at that,
Christ!
Yeah, I got my prednisone and my Z pack, everybody.
Good
but
Lord.
I show up.
So did I.
And I'm technically here for this show.
All right. How about
ever
this?
Tell you different.
How about this? All right, ready? They get back from Narnia, and they've got the little goat guy with them, and they make it all the way back to the school, and he gets his diploma like he's always wanted, and then Fighthaver chokes out the dean,
the provost.
Credits. How's that for the ending?
Can
not
loving
how,
it.
Also how robust is the editing on this show? Like in post, how many of these silences do you guys plan on cutting?
Kevin? I haven't heard the show. Kevin's in charge of that stuff.
Okay. I typically add them because it feels pretty tight during the recording, and I just like to let this baby breathe.
Okay.
Yeah. We're leaving the space for the audience to crack up or just to think. Mm-hmm. Some of this shit, it's like you want to give them a little while to go, holy shit, let that sink in, you know?
You on everyone on Whose Line is like, me now. Just stand there for a minute. Just like
chill the fuck out. Set a good example. Like,
did you get that
American
one?
Culture is just like go, 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 stress, stress, stress.
Yes.
It's fucking killing us. Like, just get on TV and set a good example and just chill out and go like, I'm gonna do like, you know, a spaghetti western style scene in a minute. Like, but just let me fucking gather my thoughts.
I know it hasn't been 10 minutes yet, but I have something.
Okay. Oh,
nice.
8 minutes, Matt.
Eight?
Only 8 minutes to go?
Can you edit it sooner? Can you like make it seem like 10 minutes went past?
Okay. And 5, 4.
I think that the GOAT should be either Michael Jordan or Jim Brewer. And it's like depending on your Paragon level or your what is the other one, Nick?
Sorry, Renegade. Matt.
Renegade level?
Kevin, can you put the 8 minutes in? can you reinsert the 8 minutes?
You can put it back. It's
just
okay.
To give people more time between that.
They might need it.
Who is the second man in the two men that you mentioned?
Which? Where?
Apodaca?
Michael Jordan.
Who is the other person?
Jim Brewer, the goat boy
from Saturday Night Live.
He's a comedian, sort of.
Okay. Gotcha.
Anti-vax, I believe.
Yeah.
I actually think we can get Heather here. I don't think she knows now, but I think we can. I think, Matt, if you do a couple more things, I think we can. She'll be like, oh, that's who Jim Brewer is.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
You must have seen Half Baked. You've seen Half Baked.
Nope.
Okay. No. Now I'm not sure we're going to be.
That's making it harder.
Have you seen Fox News recently?
Nope.
Okay.
Because I know you picked Michael Jordan because he's the GOAT, right?
Yeah. That's not why. But yeah.
Oh. Well.
He had his own show. He was on Premium Blend a lot.
Yeah. Have you seen Premium Blend?
I was
remember
wrong,
that one. What was the one where they used to like act out the stand-ups act? You know what I mean? Like the stand-up would be telling a story and they'd have like a filmed version of the story that was happening.
Dr. Katz?
Uptown Comedy Club?
No, it wasn't animated. It was like a live action. So this, so
Drunk
like
History?
No. It was a stand-up, like, it was a half-hour stand-up show. It wasn't Premium Blend, right? It was,
Wait, the concept was that we will show actors?
No, it'd be, like, the stand-up would be telling a story of, like, you know, whatever. I think Jim Brewer's one was, like, something about, like, either, like, picking up a hitchhiker or somehow. There was, like,
a live-action
or something.
Live-action shorties watching shorties that they...
Okay.
That they did.
No...
Uptown Comedy Club from 1992?
No.
Saturday Night Live?
Unsolved Mysteries?
It was Saturday Night Live.
It was Saturday
Thank
Night
you.
Live.
None of you remember
That's
that?
What it is.
They'd be acting out these comedians'
they act
ideas.
Out the ideas.
Jay Moore got into trouble for that. Talks about in Gasping for Airtime.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember everything from that book.
Okay, what about the director's cut of the game? Any additions?
We have to. Everyone is so sick. Bye.
Hollywood Handbook.
This week on the Patreon, Carl and Hassan remember John Madden, the boys read their diary entries with Lily Sullivan, and the flagrant ones are mostly talking all things basketball. Check out these bonus podcasts and videos of the full episodes, including today's with Nick, Heather, and Matt at patreon.com/theflagrantones.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.